Because see, even in the middle of our darkest hour, this is the story of Christmas. So why not Mary feel anxiety? Why not Mary feel afraid? Why not Mary say, God, is this really your plan? Because ultimately, this is what you and I are still asking today. God, what is your plan? God, what is your will? I love the fact that God shows up to Mary and calms her, even when nobody else really understands the plan. Not only her, but it says that the angels appeared to the shepherds on the hill in the middle of the night. You see, sometimes it's the very darkest when God appears to us. Sometimes when it's the very darkest, God speaks to us. Sometimes in the very darkest moment of our life, when we think, God, are you really hearing me? He does. And he speaks very clearly. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news. What's the good news? That unto you this day, a Savior has come. The Messiah, his name is Jesus. He's the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace. Unto you this day, the good news is that in the middle of your deepest fear, in the middle of your darkest season, in the middle of the darkest time in your life, God still calls out to you and he calls out to me and he says, peace I bring to you. See, this is the good news of Christmas. That the baby came. He came in a way that was full of scandal. I love that. That he came in a way that was full of scandals. Sure, Mary and Joseph are going to have a baby. And it's the Holy Spirit's, right? No one believed that story. Nobody but Joseph and Mary, who had experienced the angel speaking to them personally. Everybody else was ridiculing. Everybody else says these kids are in denial. These kids are trying to use God as the excuse that they made a mistake. So they go through being talked about, misunderstood, rumors going throughout the land. But God shows up. See, God shows up in the middle of that. God shows up in the middle of that if we'll just trust him. God, you got a plan. You're going to have to make Joseph understand. God appears to Joseph. And everywhere they go, they can't find room for the baby to be born. God provides. It's not our plan, but it's God's plan. The people who need to find him, God sends them to find him. The wise men find him and take another path away, not telling Herod where he was in protection of his little life. This baby grows up, and can you imagine the struggle? Here he is, fully God, but yet fully man. So he's the little brother who's being picked on, like all the other little brothers in the world. But yet, he's got to take it as a little boy, but inside he knows his destiny is, he could call down a 10,000 angel and say, listen, big brother, let me tell you something. You're messing with the wrong dude. You guys are skipping rocks on the water. I can walk on water. Mic dropped. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, I love it that his first miracle was turning the water into wine when his mom said, you just do what he says. It's your time. How does she know he could do that if he had to make a little Kool-Aid at home when she was out? I'm just wondering. Just my opinion, okay? The struggle is real because here he is, fully God, but yet fully man. And we see him being grown. And he struggled with this whole time. Because here he is stepping into his public ministry as a grown man. And yet the people are still rejecting him. Oh, no, you're the carpenter's son. This is the same guy that installed our cabinets. And now he's calling himself the Messiah. Boy, those people are delusional. The rejection that he faced among his own people. When he tried to do public ministry in his own hometown, he says that he could hardly do anything there because no one believed him. Didn't have faith, and he had to just leave that place. just healing, just a few minor healings, and just left because he was received with no honor. The struggle was real. And even in the garden, remember in the garden, when Jesus goes and he finds himself coming face to face with the reality, even though he knows God's plan is for him to be born in the manger, to grow up the son of a carpenter, and then to walk and call his disciples and begin to walk in public ministry, doing healings, teaching the New Testament gospel of grace, and teaching all this. But yet, when it comes right down to the hour, when he knows the hour is at hand for the soldiers to come and to take him away, when the hour is at hand for him to be chained up and to be beat and to be nailed to the cross, when the hour is at hand, we find him praying in the garden, just like you and I, saying, "Father, is there another way? God, is there another path?" See, sometimes what God asks us to do is painful. Sometimes what he asks us to do is not easy. It wasn't easy for Jesus, and he was fully God, but yet fully man. And the man's side was struggling with the will of the Father. But in his struggle, we see him still saying these words, "Father, not my will, but let your will be done." See, it's the place where you and I have got to come to. It's the place where you and I have got to make a decision that when it comes down to it, am I going to do what I think is best for my life, or am I going to surrender my life to the Savior and say, "Father, not my will be done, but let your will be done. Let it be so. Let it be so."